I'm going to ask you to pray with one another, but before we do that, I just want to read this to you. It's found in Ephesians 2, verse 20, and it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And verse 19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And then it goes on to say that you've been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And before you pray for one another, I just wanna kind of set it up. Because oftentimes we'll come in on a midweek and we'll do the routine thing. That's, you know, we'll give a complimentary prayer. And complimentary prayers isn't what most of us need in the room tonight. You need something deeper, right? And really, to go deep, you got to dig. And so I need you to be apostolic in your prayer tonight. And I need you to be prophetic. And I read you that scripture because the apostolic and the prophetic, they're the ones who lay the foundation of the work that the ministry sits on. And if you're apostolic and you're prophetic, you normally carry a shovel and you wear work clothes. You come to do work. You come to dig deep. And so what I want you to do, and as we go in to pray for one another tonight, I want you to dig deep. When you grab a hold in just a second, you're going to grab a hold of a hand and you're going to pray. And that hand that you're holding, it needs deeper prayer. It needs a work that goes deep. Because how many know that if you're gonna build a house on a foundation and you're gonna dig a footer and you're gonna lay the foundation, you're gonna have to dig deeper than, let's say, 2 feet. You're gonna have to go down into the ground. And when you go down to the ground, I worked in the construction field for a while, and you know, the deeper you go, the harder the ground gets. And so there's some deep, hard stuff that many of us are carrying into the room tonight. And so what we need an apostle. And I don't take off the clerical robe of the apostle and the bossy boots that he wears that we've grown accustomed to hearing. That's not the kind of apostle we need right now. We need the apostles from old, the ones that dig deep and lay foundations. And we need the prophetic, the ones that go deeper than the surface issues that they're looking at. They go to the root of matters. In order to go to the root of matters, you got to go deep spiritually. So knowing all of that, I'm going to ask you to pray for one another tonight. Can you do that? Just grab the hand of the neighbor that's right to the right and to the left of you. And we're going to pray. I don't want anybody standing alone. So if somebody could include my dear sister here. Thank you. Nobody's standing alone. And what I want to do now is just go deep. Let's go before the Lord and go deep for one another. Father, we thank you tonight that the hand that we're holding is full of the power of God, full of the provision of the cross. We thank you now, God, that all of our need you are aware of. Every circumstance, every pain, every heartache, every distress in life, you are aware of. We're holding out now and we're digging deep for one another. We realize that we must go deeper in you, that there is a problem that lies beneath the surface that must be dug up. We now come before you and we thank you, Lord, that all of our need is answered in you. We thank you, God, that sickness and disease is healed by the stripes of Jesus. We cry out with groans undiscernible in the spirit. And we say, heal those that are sick. God, the heart that is hardened right now, we pray that you would soften it. For those, there's many watching online right now. We pray, God, that you would answer the need that they have right now as they cry out in faith. You are a God who is aware. And we pray as we dig this foundation, that it is strong and full. It's full of the strength of the Lord. Your word declares that you hang the earth upon nothing, that the pillar of the earth you created. We bless you. We thank you, God, that all of our need is met by you tonight. We come against strife in marriages tonight and declare that that you bring softness to the heart that is hard. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing hidden from you. That you love us and we can be transparent with you. I pray that you would answer financially for those that are in distress tonight financially. We bless you and we love you. Tonight we come expecting more. Expecting more. Bless these tonight. We worship you and we love you. It's an honor to live for you because you died for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, put your hands together for the Lord tonight. So thankful. Happy to be with you this evening. Greet one another. Tell somebody hello. Happy Wednesday. Good to be with you tonight. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. If you're new and you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Troy. I'm the associate here. Pastor Caden's not with us tonight, but we have a special night in store for you. I just want to bring to your attention for the month of July and August. As we prepare to receive the offering, we'll go ahead and ushers, if you're here, can you come forward? Thank you for your faithful giving. You can, if you're writing a check, you can make those payable to CNC. If you're giving cash, the envelopes are there before you. Thank you for your faithful giving, and thank you for your giving this evening. Helps us to preach the gospel all around the world. So they're going to receive that now, and let's pray for it. Father, we thank you for blessing us financially as we give to your kingdom. We know, God, that as we give, you see. Like Boaz, you've seen our work in the field, and it's been reported to you. We thank you, God. For opportunity to sow financially once again into this house. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was saying, in the months of July and August, we're having a celebration with one another. And I just want to read it to you real quickly because many are questioning this. They're saying, but please don't take away midweeks. But here, let me show you what happens. There's a recipe for revival that happened in the book of Acts. And if you go to Acts 2 at the end of the chapter, you'll see something. In verse 46, we'll start. Actually, let's start in 42. Acts 2, verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders, signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." If you go to the book of Acts and you read that, you'll see that the people of God, there in just after Christ's resurrection, they were called apostles. And what their behavior, how they handled the message of the gospel really is what catapulted it and thrust it forward. And if we go back and just review their behavior and try to pick up on some of the things we've missed, we've relegated our faith to a midweek service and a Sunday morning service. But you'll see that in the book of Acts, they had all things in common. There are many things they said there, but they had all things in common, meaning they had one goal, and that was to make sure that the message of Christ was propagated and heralded, was declared, was taught, and that's what they made their emphasis about. And so in the month of July and August, what we want to do is actually leave this place and go from house to house, break bread together, have prayer, and see if God won't do something miraculous with our time together outside of just these walls here. And so we're encouraging everyone to join us midweek somewhere else. Now, we need host homes. And it doesn't have to be a home. It could be, you could say, well, I'd like to host one. I'll do it at the park across the street, or I'll do it at a park in my neighborhood. And then we'll take your name, and then everybody will advertise it. We'll market it for you. And everybody who likes will come to your event. And so that's what we're wanting to do in the months of July and August.
And we see that in the book of Acts, when the apostles did this, they carried revival in them. They carried revival. They had church everywhere they went. And church isn't relegated to just this building. You know, the Bible declares that when there's just one or two of us together, when there's just two, just let there be two of us, then suddenly Christ shows up and he's there. And so we're encouraging you to, if you'd like to be a host home, we'd like to take your name down. And you can sign up in the foyer to do that. We would greatly appreciate it. It'll help us get this kicking in July and August of this year. And then what we're going to do for two of those months is we're going to have a summer night bash where we'll have a Sunday evening service and we'll invite everybody from this side and the west side to kind of come together once a month in those 2 months. And so we're encouraging to do that. So tonight, I have a special, special guest for you this evening. It's always encouraging to me to see the younger generation because I feel like I've been molded in between two generations. I feel like God's given me this anointing to kind of to stand between two generations, where I hold hands with the statesmen of the faith, and then I also relate and have relevance with those younger in the faith. And when Isaiah went off to Bible college, I was excited because his generation, there were a number of them that took off and said, you know what, this message will not perish with my generation. We will make sure that my generation carries this message further. And he comes from such a family and a lineage of faith, and he brings it to us tonight all the way from Florida. And I'd like you to welcome him. Many of you don't know him because he grew up in the West, but he has deep, deep roots here with Church on the North Coast. And could you do me a favor? Stand to your feet with me tonight and make welcome the one and only, the incomparable Isaiah Board as he comes to preach the Word of God.
Thank you, Troy, and I want to start and say that it is an honor and a privilege to be here tonight with you guys. Like you said, a lot of you don't know me, so if you don't know me, you're going to know after tonight, not in a haughty way, but in a way that, I don't know, it's special, and this is what I love to do. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to communicate God's Word in a very unique way, and so that's what I'm going to do tonight. So a couple of things that you should know about me. Number one, like you said, I'm in Bible college, and so I'm at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. I'll be graduating with my ministerial leadership or practical theology, church ministries degree, whatever you want to call it. It's called everything, but whatever you want to call it, I'll graduate with that in May, and then I'm done with Bible college, and I'll be looking for a church to go to. So that's a little bit about me. I hope that you enjoy tonight, and I hope that God speaks to you guys through what he has given me. So one other thing I want to let you know is that I'm a kind of yell-at-me type of preacher. So you got to yell at me when I'm preaching. So if you want to say, that's good, boy, preach, boy, that's for me, I'm going to Twitter that, I'm going to Facebook that, whatever you want to say, you can say it to me, and I don't mind. So let's practice that. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah, let's go. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. That's kind of where I'm going to operate out of tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And if you're going to take notes, that's a good thing. You probably should do that. And if you want to do that, you could title this message, Tear It Down. Somebody say, Tear It Down. Uh-oh, they're talking to me. I like that. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10, let me get there. And then we're going to do verses 1 through 6. That's where I'm going to operate out of tonight. And so when you're there, let me give you a little bit of background while you're going to the scriptures. This is the second letter to the Corinthian church. So Paul is penning this letter actually away from the Corinthian church, and he's kind of writing it and sending it to them. What you should probably know about this is that 1 Corinthians, if you go to chapter 5, I'm not going to do it tonight, but if you go there in chapter 5, this Corinthian church was jacked up. Somebody say jacked up. Yeah, they was jacked up. Chapter 5, we get a guy who was sleeping with his mother. It's not his mother, but it's his father's wife. And so scholars and theologians alike, they believe that this is probably his stepmother. And so somebody said, that's messed up. Come on. Yeah, that's nasty too. Come on. So we got that going on. Then chapter 11, if you go to 1 Corinthians, we got the Corinthian church getting drunk at the Lord's table. Come on, we're supposed to do this in remembrance of God, and they're getting drunk. Come on, you can't do that. So Paul's writing this, and he's letting them know, like, hey, you can't do this. So this church is a jacked up people, yet here's what I want you to see. Watch this. God still calls them saints. Paul's still writing this letter. He's still letting them know, hey, you're a saint. I believe in you. So he's still writing this to them, still calling them a church. Even after they do this crazy stuff, he's still calling them a church. And so we pick up the letter here in 2 Corinthians 10. And so would you do me a favor and stand to your feet? Let's read God's word. Oh, I love doing this. I believe it's appropriate to stand for God's word. So I'm going to read this, then we'll go pray, and I'm going to kick this off. It says, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold towards you, went away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Somebody say strongholds. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Verse 6, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Awesome God, I thank you for this opportunity to speak. Father God, on behalf of you, you yelled this message loud and clear to me, so I'm going to just yell it right back at the people, Father God. So I pray that you would be in this message, that they would see all of you, none of me, Father God, and that tonight we would learn we've got to tear some stuff down. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this word, bless us as we leave here. And in your name I pray, we give this service to you. Amen. You may be seated. I love you, but I'll kill you. Have you said that before? I love you, but I'll kill you. That's my thought process. Because, see, what you need to know also is that I'm engaged. Somebody say, I'm engaged. Well, you're not, but I am. But anyway, I'm engaged, and so I'm getting married next year, and I'm excited to do that. But here's my thought process. If another man, come on now, if another man ever tried to step to my girl, my fiance, I would be wanting to kill him. In my head, I'd be thinking, I love you as a child of God, but I will kill you. If you ever try to lure her away from me, I'll kill you. Come on, somebody. Brothers, you know what I'm talking about. Because if a man tried to mess with your wife, you want to kill them. I mean, I love them, and I want to be a preacher. You know, don't get me wrong. But if you mess with my fiance, come on, you better be ready to throw down. See, I know I'm only about 5'8", but I'm telling you, I'll go to the ground. I'll go to the death for my fiance. Come on. That's true love. Come on. Somebody say true love. Yeah, that's true love. I'll go to the death for her. And so if you ever try to mess with her, I love you as a child of God, and I respect that. And, you know, I respect you, whatever, but I'll kill you because we just don't do that. Anybody like Tyler Perry? Come on. Give me a shout if you like Tyler Perry. Well, he made a movie just recently called Temptation, right? Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. So some of y'all seen it. It's okay. You're still saved. But I would see it too. You know, come on. Some people are like, I didn't see that. No, you saw it. No, it's all right. It was a good movie. But, you know, and in that, we see depicted a couple. And they've been married for 6 years, but they've known each other for a lot longer than that. But what we have is we have a couple that's been together, right? And then on the side, you get Harley. This dude, he looks good, kind of like me. And he comes in, and he starts to lure this girl away, and he starts to just challenge her thoughts that she had about her husband. So he starts trying to lure her away. And, I mean, in one of the latter scenes, if you were to watch the movie, you'll see that, you know, he gets beat down pretty bad, and he could have almost got killed at the end, but it didn't happen. But anyway, the bottom line is, though, he tries to lure her away. And that's kind of the context that we're talking here in 2 Corinthians. We have Paul, the apostle, writing to this church, and he's letting them know, hey, see, because what happened was, you need to know also that there were these men called sophists. Somebody say sophists. And what they were wise men that came through, and with the intent of deceiving someone, they put together these well-crafted and well-constructed arguments that exalted themselves to the knowledge of God. And so Paul is writing, that's the context that we have here, and he's just letting them know, hey, we can't do that. And there's three things that he kind of talks about here, and he talks about three things. And I want to set the stage for where we're going to go. We're going to operate out of verse number 5, but what I want to touch on is that Paul doesn't like this. Just as I wouldn't like somebody messing with my fiance, or brothers in the house, you wouldn't want somebody messing with your wife. So he's going to use terms that are militaristic. So they're setting the stage, and they're very, very forceful words. So I don't know if anybody broke it down to you, but I'm going to break it down to you tonight. But he's using very militaristic words to say, hey, we got to tear this stuff down. We can't have anything that's exalting itself higher than Christ in our midst in the church. So also you need to know that. And you need to know he's writing to a church, too. It's not just individuals, messed up people, beat up people in the streets. He's talking to a church. They're letting things come in. They're well-crafted. So, I mean, it's understandable how they're taken in. But Paul's letting them know, hey, we can't be doing that. And we're not going to do that. And to show you that, I'm going to use words that you would have known about. See, because the Corinthian church, the city of Corinth, was actually at one point in time obliterated. So they would have known what it was like to be destroyed. So he's going to use words that kind of link to their past to give them a reference for what they should do in the future. Somebody say amen. That's just like today. If we were to use words such as segregation and colored, and we would think, okay, back in the old time, Martin Luther King, we would think it would be as if Paul was writing to us today using language from our past. So that's what he's going to do. So he does three things. He says three things. If you look at verse 5, you can put that up too on the screen. I want to hit this thing tonight. Here's what I want to hit. Anything contrary to the knowledge of Christ must be demolished, taken captive, and made obedient to Christ. Can you say amen? Let me say that again. Anything, no matter what it is, anything contrary to the knowledge of Christ must be demolished, taken captive, and made obedient to Christ. So what does he start off with, Isaiah? What does he start? He starts off by saying, look, we demolish arguments and every pretension. Some versions say every lofty thing that sets itself higher than Christ. The Greek word here for reasoning or argument is our English word for reasoning, and it's logismos. So I'm going to test your Greek. Say logismos. Right. So that's the word he's using. And this word really is a word that is used. It can be used for a lot of things, but right here it's a reasoning that is hostile to the Christian faith. And so he's saying, look, this stuff that's hostile to the Christian faith, we cannot have. So we have to demolish, meaning take down and tear down everything that sets itself higher than Christ. And the word here for pretension is our English word for elevated structure. So here, some 50 years before Paul was even born, where he grew up, pirates would kind of hide in places and just kind of hide out. And, okay, I hope they don't kill me, so I'm going to hide in here. But the Roman army, what they would do is attach different tools onto these fortresses and rip them down. Somebody say rip them down. So what he's trying to say is that the knowledge of Christ can never be rivaled. And if it is, you must demolish it by ripping it down. So that's what he's saying in this scripture. And so I thought of some things that kind of creep in today to our churches and to where we're at. And I thought of some things, and I said, okay, what are some things that we kind of let creep in? And so here's the first thing I thought of. I thought of one thing that we do a lot of times I hear, and it's all about grace. Anybody heard that? It's all about grace. Oh, it's grace. God's got it covered. And I understand. He does. God does have it covered. But let me tell you something. Here it goes. You ready for this? I'm about to explode and go crazy, buck wild. But here it goes. You're Usain Bolt, right? And Usain Bolt is crazy nice. But the thing about it is about grace. God's grace will cover you. But let me tell you something. You're Usain Bolt in a race that you can't win. Somebody say, You feel that? You're Usain Bolt in a race that you can't win. It is about grace. But let me tell you, you still have to come to God. You're on your knees and saying, God, forgive me. God is bigger, better, and greater than anything that you know. So anything that sets itself higher than Christ must be torn down. It cannot be allowed to be tolerated with. I mean, yes, you know, there's some things. Okay, grace is good. But let me tell you something. That doctrine, a little bit, when you take it too far, can be a little hostile to the Christian faith. Amen? You still have to get to know the fact that, hey, I'm Michael Phelps in the water, and I still can't win. I still can't get out of the water, and I'm a beast in the water, right? But you have to know something that God still wants you to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to touch on your toes right here. Isaiah, don't talk about it. Homosexuality. Uh-oh. Somebody say, uh-oh. It's wrong. It's not the only sin, and it's not the worst sin. I'm not going to say that, but I'm saying it's wrong. And it should not be allowed to be tolerated in the church. I know I'm touching on you, but I'm going to touch on your neighbor. Just say, he's touching on me. Yeah, I know, I'm touching on you. But what I want you to know is that, look, it cannot be allowed. It cannot be allowed. Paul says, you got to tear this stuff down. You need to know God is your provider. Amen. God is your sustainer. He is your deliverer. He is your redeemer, your defender, and he will fight for you all the time. He will. But you need to know that nothing can tear that down. You need to keep that at the high point. You can't let anything tear down what God has already said in his word. I make no apologies for this word, okay? I don't make no apologies. If it's written in here, I got to preach it. So to ask me to preach, oh, you can't preach the Bible. I'm sorry, but I'm a preacher. I got to preach the word. So what I want to bring to you tonight is just letting you know, hey, we got to tear stuff down. If there's anything in the word of God that is exalting itself higher than Christ or looking like, okay, it looked like Christ, but I don't know if it is. It's not Christ. If it's all Christ, you'll know it, right? Somebody say amen. You'll know it. So tear it down. Paul's saying, you got to tear this stuff down. You got to know God is your provider. Don't let money, don't let man tell you, oh, I'm your provider. No, no, no. You tithe because you trust in God. God will see you all the way through. Don't let anything doubt that. Don't let anything make you doubt and, oh, is God? No, he is still this. God is still here. And I know, oh, with the homosexuality, Isaiah, but that was the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. I was talking to my brother on the way here. God never changes in his nature. Watch this. You're going to watch this. He never changes in his nature, but he changes in his dealings with people. So, case in point, me and my brother. My mom, she told me that when she was younger, all she had to do was, Micah, I'm disappointed in you. And right then, he knew, man, I messed up. Man, I got to do something right. That's all she needed to do. Now, me, you got to spank my butt because I'm not going to listen to you. You better spank me, and you better spank me good. But that's how it is with God, right? He'll never change in his nature, but he changes in his dealings with people. So if you write notes, you might want to write that down. Because people think, oh, it's Old Testament. No, no, no. God still, if he hated it then, he hates it now. It's just he go deal with it a little bit different. Amen? So Paul's saying right here, the first point is, what he's saying is, you have to tear this stuff down. Do not let anything exalt itself higher than Christ. Why? Because he is bigger, better, and greater than anything that you've ever known. He's on a letter, on a whole another level that you can't even get to, right? So there ain't even nothing that can even get to him. So if something looked crazy, knock it down, tear it down. Just like Paul would have seen people tear down fortresses, that's the thing right here. That's the imagery that we see. Tear that stuff down. Come on, somebody say amen. Are you with me? Oh, man. It's getting hot in here. What he says also in verse 5, let's look at the second part. He says, we must take captive every thought. You have to take captive every thought. Somebody says, take captive every thought. You need to take captive every thought. See, the Roman army, when they would come into a place, they would not only knock it out and tear stuff down, run crazy, light stuff on fire, break windows, bust up cars. Well, they didn't have cars, but they bust up animals, whatever. And they'll bust up stuff. But also what they did was they took captive things that they wanted. They took captive of some stuff that they wanted. And they bound it up so that now you were a prisoner of war. Now, they come into your land and they take you out and you're a prisoner of war. You can't do nothing about it. All you got to do is go with them. So he's saying, take captive every thought. So I want you to think. Close your eyes real quick. Everybody do this. Close your eyes. And think of what bound you before you came to Christ. What bound you? What sin, what habits, what patterns of life, what cycles were you in before Christ took you out? Come on, somebody say amen right there. What were you bound in? You can open your eyes now. Some people sleep. but for real, you know, what bound you? Paul's saying, tear down some stuff. But also, what I need you to do is take captive those things. The way you felt, those things that you struggle with, those things that you thought, man, I'm never getting out of here. Those things, take captive. Do that to them. If there's any thought that starts to set itself higher than Christ, take it down. Nuh-uh. Christ is up there. You're not. Take it down and bind it up. Come on. Somebody say amen. You with me? You got to bind that kind of stuff up. We can't let stuff run crazy in the church. No, no, no. Anything that's in his word is true. Let God be found true in every. Come on. You can finish that one. Yeah. Let every man be found a liar. So bind some stuff up in your life. Anything that you don't want to run free in your kids. Come on. I'm going to talk to the kids too. That stuff crazy happening in public schools. If you're a teen, say yeah. Yeah, there's some, there ain't no teens in here. But no, there's a lot of stuff that goes around, right? But you got to tear that kind of stuff down. That stuff is not, all they did, look, let me tell you something. They didn't take Jesus Christ out of school. I mean, they did, but what they really did was just replace him with Darwin and some other guys. You know what I mean? So when they start teaching you that kind of stuff, bind that stuff up. Bound it up. You don't want to run around in your head because let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, he died too big of a price for him to be playing around, right? He had his son beaten, bruised, battered. I mean, crazy stuff. He had his son die for what? For you to go and sit and listen to something else? No, it's not higher than Christ. Christ is the ultimate authority, the ultimate figure. So bind that kind of stuff up. Don't let it run free. Nowhere, no how, no way. And then you'll be all right. All right? Amen? Come on now. Because sometimes, you know, we just let stuff run crazy. We can't do that. No, we got to take that stuff captive. We don't want it running free. Take that stuff captive in the name of Jesus. And then he concludes and he says here, in the last one, he says, we make obedient to Christ every thought. He says, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You need to make some stuff obedient to you. See, it's not enough that we tear some stuff down. That's great, and that's step one. But you guys get to step two, which is binding some stuff up. Come on, somebody say binding some stuff up. You got to bind some stuff up, but then number three, you got to make it obedient. Because you're going to bind it up, and it's going to be sitting there, but you need to make it do what you want it to do. So how do I do that, Isaiah? What is a good way for me to bind up anything that starts in my life, in my kids' life, in my finances, in my marriage? What do I do to bind things up and make it do what I want it to do instead of it running crazy? Here's what you do. You find your trigger for your anointing. I'm going to teach you something right here. So people, different people, they have different triggers for their anointing. So some people, they feel like they got it going on with the Lord. They feel like them and the Lord just like this when they get in their prayer closet and they just start confessing things. So, Lord God, I thank you. Sometimes some you may be like this. So for you, it works to trigger your anointing when you get alone and when you say, Lord God, I thank you, God, for who you are, for what you've done. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. God, you're going to fulfill my days. Father God, you made this day. I'm going to live and walk and breathe in it. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm highly favored, I'm set free, I'm healed, I'm delivered. Some people, it's like that. Is anybody like that? Raise your hand. You have to just get in the prayer closet and start. So that's what you got to do. You got to trigger that anointing. That's how you're going to take every captive thought. Some people, like me, I got to hear the word of God preached. I got to get on my iPad and look up some sermons and have the word of God preached. Anybody like that? Raise your, wave at me if you're like that. All right, a couple people. Okay, so you got to get in your prayer closet and just watch a sermon and let the word of God minister over you. Some people, your trigger is to get in there and you got to sing. You just got to get by yourself and say, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed. And some people, you got to do, anybody like that, you got to sing. No matter if you can sing, but okay, yeah. So some people, you got to trigger that. That's how you're going to break through. Now, some people, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But once you start doing that, like for me, when I hear preaching, my goodness, what I could do, I feel like I could kick down a wall, baby. I feel like I just go in there and take over the enemy's camp because I know, man, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my defender, my shield, my buckler. Come touch me, devil, because I got it all for you. Amen? I got everything for you. Come at me, bro. You heard that? That's what you got to do. So what do you got to do? What are you trying to tell me, Isaiah? Okay, here's what you got to do. You got to take some stuff down that's starting to set itself higher than Christ or even hinting at it. And then you got to lead some stuff captive and bind it up, just like the Roman army would have done to some people in Corinth. They would have bound you up, and you got to pull the trigger on your anointing. Find out what gets your anointing going. What gets you fired up about the gospel? What gets you excited about what Jesus Christ did? Come on, let me tell you, he didn't die for nothing. Come on, his sacrifice. Come on, can I get a good amen right there? Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but he didn't die for nothing, right? He died to set you free. He died so you could kick down the devil's gates. Come on, can you say amen? So pull the trigger on that anointing. When we start doing that, man, we're going to see revival. Amen? When we start doing that kind of stuff and living as a pure church, a pure bride for Christ, man, he's going to use you all over the place. God's going to start to use you in ways you never thought exceeding. Come on, the Bible says what? Now unto him who is able to do and above all that you could ask or... Boom. So you're going to be kicking down all kinds of doors, and you won't even know what happened. You'll be like, what happened? Well, you started to tear down some stuff, amen? You started to say, hey, look, man, I don't care what they say. Stuff ain't right. I got to stand for what's right. If it ain't the word, then I'm not in it. You know what I mean? Once you start doing that and start binding some stuff up in your house, your finances will start, you'll start seeing some money. You'll say, oh, make it rain. Let's go. You'll start seeing some of that. You'll start seeing your marriage start to blossom. You'll start seeing your kids start to be right up here, praising God like this. Giving him praise. You'll start, when you start doing that, but you got to start binding some stuff up, taking some stuff captive. If anything ain't the word, if it ain't God, you got to rip it down. I know that's not good English, but come on, somebody. If it ain't God, come on, say, if it ain't God, if it ain't the word, then it ain't me. Okay, so once you start doing that, you're going to start seeing some revival around here. You're going to start seeing God's word come to pass, and you're going to start seeing all of heaven start to download all kinds of stuff in your life. And you're going to be walking and talking different. People are going to be like, what's going on with you? But you're going to know, because you have already taken captive everything that the devil did. See, because here's the thing. I'm almost done, man. I'm almost done. So surgery's almost over. But the thing is, like, when we start doing this, man, the benefits are big, because God's looking for something like that. Somebody that not just following the crowd, not everybody that's just, well, yeah, that gay stuff, that's good, man. We can compromise. No, when God sees somebody else going the other way, he's got to say, man, I got to use them. I got to use them, because they're not condemning Westboro Baptist Church. They were just in Lakeland, where I'm from, at picketing churches. That's crazy, right? Picketing, I mean, outside churches, picketing and stuff. Well, I mean, they're standing for something. They're doing it in the wrong way. But when God sees somebody out there doing it the right way, standing for something, not condemning people and hey, you're going to hell, not doing all that, but standing for something and taking captive every thought that and making it obedient to Christ, when God starts seeing that, he's got to use it. I'm just telling you right now, he's got to use it. Do you believe me? Say amen. He's got to use that kind of stuff. So when you start doing that, like I'm saying, the benefits are big. So now that this message is preached, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Come on now. Say that one more time. What are you going to do? You got to tear some stuff down, though. We can't be letting everything just run rampant. I know some things. I know we want to be like everybody else. But let me tell you, if God called you to be like everybody else, man, you wouldn't be in this church. Because you got some awesome pastors. I grew up on the other side. And, man, Pastor Troy, Pastor Louis, Pastor T, they're not like everybody else. They're doing something different. Come on, can you give them a hand clap? I know they're not here, but come on, yeah. Yeah, they do a good job. So if you were called to be like everybody else, you'd be down the street at a Missionary Baptist Church. Uh-oh, let me stop. No, but you know what I mean? You wouldn't be where you're at. God wouldn't call you to where you're at right now if you were called to be like everybody else. So what are you going to do about it? You going to tear some stuff down in your life? Are you going to start flipping on TV instead of saying, yeah, you know, no, they're not right. And I know I shouldn't be preaching this message because I'm wanting to be a pastor and everything. But you know what? I'm just done with it, you know? I'm 21 years old, and if I'm going to give my life to the gospel and to preaching to people and living my life out of a bucket, boy, you know I'm going to preach every word up in here. Come on. I'm going to preach every word. I know I shouldn't be, you shouldn't come in here talking about all this. No, I'm going to talk about it, because if it's not in the world, it's not me, man. If I'm going to give my life to this thing, I'm going to preach every word in it, and you're going to hear every word of it. Amen? You're going to hear Old Testament, you're going to hear in the middle of it where nothing's written, and you're going to hear the New Testament. You're going to hear it all, because I'm just sick and tired of us doing it. We got to tear some stuff down. And it's just so appropriate that we hear this message and take it to heart and say, no, man, if something's not right, it's just not right. And I don't care who comes to my church. I know I want to be a pastor. If only two people come, we're going to be the two most fired up people about the gospel ever. I don't care. I'm not standing for that. Come on now. Can you give God a hand clap of praise right there? I can't play with that. Mm-mm. Not me. You find somebody else for that. But I know you're going to find me preaching every word that's written in this book, because I'm going to give my life to this. And I believe that Paul was writing, yes, to the Corinthian church. Yes, exegetically, hermeneutically, he wasn't writing to us. He didn't know we were going to exist. Yes. But I believe that God sent me here today, come on, to tell somebody, tear some stuff down, bind some stuff up in your life, and make some stuff obedient to Christ. So I'm done. Somebody can come up here and play on the keys real quick, because I can't play. So I'm done. If somebody wants to do that, we're going to do that. But I want us now, I want everyone to stand. And I'm done, but I want to pray over us today. And also during the prayer, I'm going to ask that you repeat the part that I have you repeat. And I'll prompt you when to do so. But I want us to make a pledge today that we're going to be church on the North Coast tearing stuff down. That we're not going to let stuff just run crazy in today's world. That if stuff wants to run crazy, that's cool, but it's not going to be inside Church on the North Coast. Amen? Or it's not going to be inside me, because I call myself a Christ follower. And I know we got a lot of different names for you, a lot of different definitions of what a Christ follower is, but we're going to stay true to the one, the only Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Can you give God a hand clap of praise right there? Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot for you, okay? He did a lot for you, okay? He didn't have to go and be beaten on the cross. See, even Scripture tells us, really, God didn't want to be crucified, right? Because he said, I don't want to do this, but, because if you want to, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. So he paid a big price for you? For what? For us to just stand here and look around looking crazy? No. For us to tear some stuff down. They can do what they want out there, but not at CNC. Come on. Not at CNC. We're going to tear some stuff down. So as they play softly and everything, I'm going to pray over us that we begin now to tear some stuff down in our life. And I'm preaching to myself, too. You know, it's not like I'm aiming this at you. I'm preaching to myself, too. So it's not a message of judgment. I'm just trying to communicate what the judge meant. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I thank you for living and breathing, Father God, being that hypostatic union, that God and man at once. Never tapping into your divinity as to override your humanity, because if you did that, you wouldn't even be like us. Because we can't tap into divinity. But you could, but you didn't on purpose, so you could be like me and you. So me and my friends here at CNC. So God, I thank you for this word. God, I pray that right now that these last 26 minutes were not just a bunch of hype, Father God, but a truth. A truth that anything that stands contrary to the word of God would be torn down, binded up, made captive, and made obedient to Christ. That every thought, Father God, the Greek word there is noema, and that means thought with an evil purpose, you guys. So that's an evil purpose thought that they had back in the day. But God, any evil purposes, any noemas that we have today, we want to tear those down. So Father God, I just ask that you would now equip us. Help us to pull the trigger on our anointing and relinquish and tear down the things of the enemy. Father God, that you would get the glory from this. And Lord God, that all of you and none of us, Father God, and if they don't come to the church, they don't come to the church. But we got to stand for something. We got to stand for something, God. So I thank you for that. So would you guys repeat after me? I now pledge to demolish, take captive, and make obedient every stronghold, every argument, every reasoning, every high and lifted up thing that sets itself against the knowledge of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you pledged it, so you got to keep it. Now I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. But God's going to watch you, so you better watch it. When stuff starts happening, you got to go out. You got to be a go-getter. You got to tear some stuff down. You got to do it. Other people didn't come, and I don't know why, but all I know is that you heard the message, so you got to spread it to them. We got to tear some stuff down. No matter who's accepting it, who's not, we got to stand for every word that's written in this book. It was too much of a price to be paid for this book to go to waste. Come on, would you just lift your hands? I bless them now in the name of Jesus, God. Bless them, Father God. Keep them. Help them now to fight the good fight of faith and tear down everything. I thank you for all of this. Would you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? I'm done. I want to thank you guys. Thank you for coming out and listening to this. I know I'm a lot. I know. But it's just something on my heart that God screamed at me, so I yelled at you guys too. It's something that God, you know, put on my heart, because this is serious stuff, man. As time goes on, we're not playing with no games. And I know I'm only 21. I know. But I'm sorry. I got to stand for something. If I'm going to live, you know. Yeah, you can give God praise for it. Go ahead. I got to stand for something, you know. Like I said, if I'm going to give my life to this thing, I'm preaching this thing down. So that's all I have. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Listen. That boy's living his life like he's shot out of a gun. Right? That's 21 years old, talking like he's 40. Preaching like he's been doing it for a long time. Preaching words outside of his wisdom. That's above his pay grade right there. Most 21-year-olds today, they don't know whether they're scratching their watch or winding their butts, really. They are lost, man. Hey, did you appreciate his ministry tonight? I'm so proud I just want to stare at him for a little while. I look at him like, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. I love his spirit. And on the way out tonight, we're going to receive a love offering for him. If you could just give. If you believe that there are other 21-year-olds that need that spirit, that there's a generation that needs to get a mindset and a heart and courage to speak words like that, because the gospel is offensive. I don't know where we got this idea that everybody was gonna love the words of Christ. They didn't like when he shared his own personal words with them. They didn't like all the apostles were martyred. But yet today we want to dumb things down and make we want to turn wine and make it grape juice. We want to take wine. No, we want to do worse than that. We want to make it grape Kool-Aid. I love grape Kool-Aid, but it's not the gospel. And so what the world needs is the gospel. And the message of the cross, it's foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us, man, it's everlasting life. And it's everlasting life to those in which we give it to. And I pray that tonight as you leave and on the way out, give something to Isaiah, and we'll make sure that it all gets to him. I pray that you are encouraged tonight. If you'd like, the altars are going to be open. You can come and spend some time before the Lord. But God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming. I pray that was a good shot of energy in your arm tonight. Live right, as Pastor says. Live real right. Love everybody and pray real hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week.